Thank you. I'm Catherine Welch, filling in for a vacationing Ian Donis. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And URI political science professor Maureen Moakley. Hello, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our guest Newport Democrat Marvin Abney. He was elected into office in 2012. Welcome, Representative Abney.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Now, you represent Newport, and of course, the hot issue coming up for that city is whether to bring table games to the current slots parlor. Where do you stand on the issue?
I say hold on to your hat on this one. This is it's a very complex issue. But where I personally stand was I brought the bill to the floor to introduce table games for Newport Grand. I'm personally not adverse to, you know, to table games, although in the city there are people who are. My view is that as we try to define what the economic condition of not just Newport but the state is that I don't want to see jobs lost immediately for the people who do work there. This is a complex issue because there are those who simply do not like gambling, period. And there are those who think that gambling may damage the image of Newport. And then you have those who say, hey, Rep, it's my personal business. So for me, I don't gamble that much, but I'm not adverse to it. And I think the ballot box will tell the story.
If you were a betting man, you think Newporters will pass it?
I think it has a better chance this time than it did last time, because what we tried to do was make sure that in the discussion that issues weren't on some things that were not part of the program.
Scott, you have an opinion on this?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think Representative Abney laid out both sides pretty well. There are people in Newport who just think that the city doesn't need gambling, that they already have great tourist attractions, the mansions, the sailing, the fabulous restaurants, the jazz festival, the folk festival. Now, that said, I think there's a better chance it passes this time than last time because Joe Paolino and his investment group have emphasized such things as building partnerships with the hotel people. He wants to put a Canyon Ranch-style spa in there. Attractions like that certainly meet with Newport's expectations more than just a video parlor.
Maureen?
I tend to agree with what's been said here. I mean, gambling has been part of our culture since colonial times in terms of recreation and in terms of revenue. And while there are some people who disagree about gambling per se, it's ubiquitous when it comes to across the country, and the movement is towards smaller venues, not the Nevada-style thing. So I do think that this has potential. I do think the idea of the Paolino investment, which will clean up a pretty rugged area, as you know, it's in your district. But the fortunate thing is it's going to be up to the voters.
Marvin Abney, as a member of the House, you got to see the new speaker, Nick Mattiello, up close in action. Your thoughts on the new speaker?
I sure have seen him up close in personal action. I think he's a great speaker. I look for leadership. I'm a retired military officer, so everything in my DNA talks about leadership. And I believe that he understands that with 74 other type A people that he has to lead, that you have to have a focus, you have to have a vision. And he's shown that. He's been fair to most of the people that I know that he's had personal dealings with. He's certainly been fair to me. He understands what we need in Rhode Island. And I love the economic packages that he's talking about, because that's my biggest concern of making sure we get on a good economic track.
All right. Maureen, he didn't have a lot of time, jumped in quickly. What do you think about Speaker Mattiello's style?
I think he did remarkably well, given when he came in, how fast he assembled a new coalition. I was very worried about the fact that it wouldn't come together in a time to pass the budget. Everything was done in a timely way. It was a decent budget. And, you know, what we have also is the master lever. The other point is that he consolidated power and he was more inclusive. So this sets him up very nicely for the next session. I seriously doubt if there'll be a serious challenger to this. We'll have to wait and see. But he's played all his bases very well, and I expect he'll be successful next session.
And Scott, what do you expect from Speaker Mattiello as he gets more comfortable in the leadership position?
Well, I suspect, again, he'll continue to consolidate his power. The only downside, and he did a very good job, look, putting things together on such short notice after the infamous federal and state raid on Speaker Fox's office, which was certainly just a nadir for Rhode Island in this session. And I think the only thing you hear from the Senate is that he's more concerned about power than policy. And there are some people in the Senate who say that Fox was more about policy than power. So we'll see how that equation turns out.
The General Assembly doesn't have many minority members. Why do you think that is, Representative Abney?
Yeah, I think that it starts in the communities. It starts with people understanding what it takes to be a representative. And I think that, unfortunately, in my community, I grew up in a black community in Texas, we didn't understand that to have power, you have to have representation. And to have representation, you have to have people who will dedicate their lives to public service. And that's a very difficult notion to pass on to kids. So I start by talking to kids in school, making sure they understand what that means. And then you have to learn to build coalitions. All of the things that you see on national television are things that I worry about.
Scott, what do you think needs to be done to boost the number of minorities in the State House?
I think the representative's on the right track. I think you do have to educate kids young and get them involved in political action, in working on campaigns, in understanding, you know, what's at stake for their community. I also think you have to understand that when you cut the size of the House, for instance, from 100 down to 75, you did pinch opportunities for minority and women also, I think, running for the legislature.
Maureen?
Well, I mean, I think you have to, when you talk about minorities, you have to make some distinctions. I think the representative is correct. I don't see in this state a strong tradition of active participation among African Americans. You know, contrast that with Latinos, who, you know, it's like a regular sport for them. Latinos have been very, very successful moving along. And I think part of the problem is that there hasn't been this kind of aggressive movement among black communities. Moreover, when you look at the political establishment has been very diligent about trying to sustain black representation. The two largest gerrymandering that went on in the last session and the session before that in terms of census was gerrymandering to keep a black seat. So they're being supportive, but they need help from the community.
Quickly, the sale of the Providence Journal to the parent company of Gatehouse was announced this week. Representative Abney, Newport, your city, has a strong paper, but what does it mean that the state's paper of record is being sold to a big media company?
I'm always concerned when local media is sold, because to me, local media means you understand local issues. But it's a business, and it being a business, you never know what the new owners, how they're going to react to things that are local. But I'm always concerned about that. I read a lot about it, and I was surprised. But I do think it worries me that we don't have that local flavor. But that remains to be seen with the parent company.
Scott, quickly, you worked there for decades. You know people who work there. How's the morale?
In the newsroom, it's not very good. I would say it's at the bottom of Narragansett Bay, pretty much. There's a gallows humor betting pool there. The wallpaper is literally coming off the walls, and the betting pool is what date does the wallpaper actually fall off the newsroom wall and hit the floor.
And I'm guessing with a bunch of writers in the room, that wallpaper is a metaphor?
Yes, it is, obviously. I think there's some things they could do well. For instance, they own a bunch of little papers around here, smaller papers. They've never run as paper as distinguished as the Providence Journal, but why do you need five sports reporters covering the Red Sox? So there may be some good things they can do. It's not going to dilute the journalism, but we've yet to hear what their plans are for community journalism, and that's pretty sad. This has all been shrouded in secrecy.
Maureen, what does Rhode Island lose with the Projo changing hands to yet another outside company?
I think we have to wait and see, but we are disappointed because we were hoping for a buyer that would be local and that would put more emphasis on what's happening locally. But it is a business, and we'll have to see if that's going to make money for them. We'll have to try out and see what happens.
All right. Well, we're out of time, so we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thank you.
And Newport Democrat Representative Marvin Abney.
Appreciate it.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblin, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.